Act 3, Wilton Crescent and Perivale St. Andrews. It is the next day after lunch. Lady Britomart is writing in the library in Wilton Crescent. Sarah is reading in the armchair near the window. Barbara, in ordinary dress, pale and brooding, is on the settee. Charlie Lomax enters. Coming forward between the settee and the writing table, he starts on seeing Barbara, fashionably attired and in low spirits.
You've left off your uniform.
Barbara says nothing, but an expression of pain passes over her face.
Charles.
Lomax is much concerned and sits down sympathetically on the settee beside Barbara.
I'm awfully sorry, Barbara. You know, I helped you all I could with the concertina and so forth. Still, I have never shut my eyes to the fact that there is a certain amount of tosh about the Salvation Army. Now the claims of the Church of England...
That's enough, Charles. Speak of something suited to your mental capacity.
But surely the Church of England is suited to all our capacities.
Barbara presses Lomax's hand.
Thank you for your sympathy, Charlie. Now go and spoon with Sarah.
Lomax rises and goes to Sarah.
How is my onus today?
I wish you wouldn't tell Charlie to do things, Barbara. He always comes straight and does them. Charlie, we're going to the works at Perivale St. Andrews this afternoon.
What works?
The cannon works.
What? Your governor's shop?
Yes.
Oh, I say.
Cousins enters in poor condition. He also starts visibly when he sees Barbara without her uniform.
I expected you this morning, Dolly. Didn't you guess that?
Cousins sits down beside her.
I'm sorry. I've only just breakfasted.
But we've just finished lunch.
Have you had one of your bad nights?
No, I had a rather good night. In fact, one of the most remarkable nights I have ever passed.
The meeting?
No, after the meeting.
You should have gone to bed after the meeting. What were you doing?
Drinking.
Dolly!
Oh,
what were you drinking, may I ask?
Most devilish kind of Spanish burgundy. Warranted free from added alcohol. A temperance burgundy, in fact. Its richness in natural alcohol made any addition superfluous.
Are you joking, Dolly?
No. I've been making a night of it with the nominal head of this household, that is all.
Andrew made you drunk?
No, he only provided the wine. I think it was Dionysus who made me drunk.
Cousins addresses Barbara.
I told you I was possessed.
You're not sober yet. Go home to bed at once.
I've never before ventured to reproach you, Lady Britt, but how could you marry the Prince of Darkness?
It's much more excusable to marry him than to get drunk with him. That is a new accomplishment of Andrew's, by the way. He usedn't to drink.
He doesn't now. He only sat there and completed the wreck of my moral basis, the rout of my convictions, the purchase of my soul. He cares for you, Barbara. That's what makes him so dangerous to us.
That has nothing to do with it, Dolly. There are larger loves and diviner dreams than fireside ones. You know that, don't you?
Yes, that is our understanding. I know it. I hold to it. Unless he can win me on that holier ground, he may amuse me for a while. But he can get no deeper hold, strong as he is.
Keep to that, and the end will be right. Now, tell me what happened in the meeting.
It was an amazing meeting. Mrs. Baines almost died of emotion. Jenny Hill went stark mad with hysteria. The Prince of Darkness played his trombone like a madman. Its brazen roarings were like the laughter of the damned. 117 conversions took place then and there. They prayed with the most touching sincerity and gratitude for Bodger and for the anonymous donor of the £5,000. Your father would not let his name be given.
I was rather fond of the old man, you know. Most chaps would have wanted the advertisement.
He said all the charitable institutions would be down on him like vultures on a battlefield if he gave his name.
That's Andrew all over. He never does a proper thing without giving an improper reason for it.
He convinced me that I have all my life been doing improper things for proper reasons.
Adolphus, now that Barbara has left the Salvation Army, you had better leave it too. I will not have you playing that drum in the streets.
Your orders are already obeyed, Lady Britt.
Dolly, were you ever really in earnest about it? Would you have joined if you had never seen me?
Well, possibly as a collector of religions.
Not as a drummer, though, you know. You're a very clear-headed, brainy chap, Dolly. And it must have been apparent to you that there's a certain amount of tosh about
this. Charles, if you must drivel, drivel like a grown-up man and not like a schoolboy.
Well, drivel is drivel, don't you know, whatever a man's age.
In good society in England, Charles, men drivel at all ages by repeating silly formulas with an air of wisdom. Schoolboys make their own formulas out of slang, like you. When they reach your age and get political private secretaryships and things of that sort, they drop slang and get their formulas out of the Spectator or the Times. You had better confine yourself to the Times. You will find that there is a certain amount of tosh about the Times, but at least its language is reputable.
You are so awfully strong-minded, Lady Britt.
Rubbish.
Morrison comes in.
What is it?
If you please, my lady, Mr. Undershaft has just drove up to the door.
Well, let him in.
Morrison hesitates.
What's the matter with you?
Shall I announce him, my lady, or is he at home here, so to speak, my lady?
Announce him.
Thank you, my lady. You won't mind my asking, I hope. The occasion isn't a matter of speaking new to me.
Quite right. Go and let him in.
Thank you, my lady.
Morrison withdraws.
Children, go and get ready.
Sarah and Barbara go upstairs for their out-of-door wraps.
Charles, go and tell Stephen to come down here in 5 minutes. You will find him in the drawing room.
Charles goes.
Adolphus, tell them to send round the carriage in about 15 minutes.
Adolphus goes. Morrison is at the door.
Mr. Undershaft.
Undershaft comes in as Morrison goes out.